In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as we remember the saints of North America, Saint Innocent, Saint Herman, and the rest, it is important for us, if we are going to continue their mission of the fullness of the Christian faith to North America, to know who Christ is, to believe in Him not just in our mind but in our heart, which costs so much more in life than simply conviction in the mind. The central question has always been Jesus' question, who am I? And I remember in other times and in other places when Archbishop Dimitri would come amongst us and he would warn us that there are many different Christs being preached. And the Christ that we preach, the Christ crucified, arisen, ascended, who sent the Holy Spirit so that we could live divine lives at one with Him, that is the true Christ. And those who preach a Christ whose life cannot be lived by us, they're preaching some false Christ. I can think of three. First of all, and apologies to the great popular song artist responsible for these particular words, there is the signed, sealed, and delivered Christ. And second, there is the pagan Christ. And third, there is the let's make a deal Christ. With the signed, sealed, and delivered Christ, everything is promised and delivered and everything is done and all we have to do is accept it. And once we've accepted it, it's ours and God takes care of the rest. No problem. Everything has been done and it is a free gift for us to accept. And after that, there isn't anything we can do for ourselves because, after all, we can't cooperate with God's will. That capacity was lost in the fall. And so everything is given to us and very little is expected. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Then there is the pagan Christ. The God that we go to and ask for all of the things that Jesus says the pagans ask for. Food and clothing and all of the other things of this world. All of the goods that we would like to have. The riches and the good things of the world. Those are the things, Jesus says, that the pagans ask for. Don't ask for those things. God knows before you ask the things that you need, and He will give them to you. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness. That's what we are to seek. That's what we are to pray for. And all those things will be added unto you. And that last line inspires the let's make a deal Christ. Okay. I will go about the seeking first of the kingdom of God, at least formally, you know, and as a result, God will give me all of those other things, which are the things that I really want anyway. But God wants me to do this other thing first. He wants me to, you know, to pray to Him. He wants me to come to confession and communion. He wants me to fast during Lent. He wants me to do all of these things. And the deal is that if I do all of those things, all of those other things that I really want will be added unto me. So let's make a deal Christ. And none of those Christs is the true one. Because God is inviting us into His life to live His own life of perfection, which we cannot do on our own, but at one with Him, we can. You know, I looked up recently what those outside of the fullness of the Christian faith, the Orthodox faith, understand it to mean when we say in Christ. And what I found was this. I found, first of all, the idea that to be in Christ means to be a member of His church, his church is kind of, you know, they have their own idea what this church is, but, you know, they have a church of the righteousness of the Bible or something like that. So to be in his church, you know, I don't know that Orthodox believe that to be a member of the Orthodox organized church, it doesn't guarantee that you are living your life in Christ, you see, because to live your life in Christ, you must be doing so actively. You must actively be living your life in Christ. You could be baptized. You could come to confession. You could come to communion and not be living your life in Christ. You might be a let's make a deal Christian. You might be a pagan Christian. You might be some other kind. You might not actually be living your life in Christ in the way God made possible by dying on the cross and making it possible for us to live. That's what it means to be a Christian. So, what does it mean to live in Christ? Some of the other ideas I found led me directly to this idea of the signed, sealed, and delivered Christian. You are saved. You are forgiven. You are accepted. You are made righteous, all accomplished already in Christ. Now that part is true. But the part that comes after the fact is that now we are enabled to live the lives that God laid down his life in order to return to us, in order to restore to us, so that we can actually live that life. Salvation isn't just that we won't go to hell after we die. Salvation is that we are able to live a divine life from God now. From now on. A life that can't be ended by the separation of the body and the soul. That's what it means to live in Christ. God, after all, is the being who is. And to be means to be actively. It means to move. It doesn't mean to stand still and just be eternally unmoving like some kind of invisible rock. To be means to act, to move. And this is what God does. He acts, he moves, he changes, he creates, he transforms, he transfigures. Those are things that he actively does. And to be a Christian is to actively move in him, with him, and of him, to move along with him as he does the divine things that he does in this world through those who are at one with him. The ones we call the saints, the ones that St. Paul writes to in Rome and in Galatia and in all of the other towns. Those are the people who are actively living their lives in this movement of God, accomplishing his will in this world now by those that he has made it possible for them to live at one with him. Christ God calls us to faith and to belief, but not to belief in the mind. Belief in the mind is cheap. We can believe something in the mind and go and act and live from our heart in a completely different kind of way. The belief in the heart, that costs everything that we would have believed in if we believed in the world instead. All of that faith in the world and the love of a life lived from the world, for the world, in the world, for myself, that has to go. So that costs quite a lot, belief in the heart. It is belief in the heart that that man meant when Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" He responded, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We read that and hear that and we think that Jesus is asking for belief in our head. Intellectual acceptance, rejection of science and acceptance of the Bible on faith, belief in my head. That's not what he's asking for. To compel intellectual agreement? What good is that? The devil believes. in that way. He's absolutely convinced, but in his heart there is nothing but blackness and following a way of life that is contrary to everything that is good and holy and divine. God asks us to believe in him, his living son who has given his life, so that we can live that life. And belief is necessary. Belief in the heart. What does the heart love? Whatever our heart loves, that is what we will follow. And it will reveal what we believe in our heart. If we believe that the world and the goods of the world are the things that are really worth having, and the highest opinion of others, even if that opinion about us is false, if that's what we believe in, if that's what is most important to us, then that's the kind of life that we will live. The things that we say, they come from our heart. People hear them. They know who we are. They can see what the faith of our heart is, even though it's awfully easy for us to lie to ourselves. To say, I believe, and then say some words with our minds, and our hearts are elsewhere. Sometimes we think the way the world is, to live the life that we are called to live by God, is terrifically difficult. Father Anthony Conyaris points out that if that is how we understand things, and we go ahead and live our lives according to the world, believing that life at one with God is just too difficult in this world, eventually, hopefully not too late, we will learn that it is more difficult to try to live our life in this world without the divine life of God. More difficult to live our life in this world outside of the eternal and ever-renewed and ever-flowing life of Christ. If we are living by that string of ever-flowing, ever-renewed living water that Jesus promises to us, we will be able to live through our lives as witnesses to the fact that it is possible to live from God. Witnesses of the fact that it is possible for a human life to be transformed and transfigured by living at one with God. It's not a mountain standing out there for us to climb by our own skill and by our own strength to be a Christian. It is a level path, Jesus said. Our burden will be light. All we have to do is repudiate our love of the world, our love of ourselves, first of all, and follow him into the living of his life actively in the world. That is the Christ that we preach. A Christ in whose life it is possible to live by every day, by every hour, relieved of our burdens because he has accomplished all things, not so that we can sit back and do nothing because we're incapable of participating in that good and holy life, but because we are capable of participating in that good and holy life, and to do so gives us a peace, a serenity, and the capacity to deal with all of the terrors and chaos of the life around us. To walk across all of that chaos like Peter walking across the stormy water. That is the life that is possible for us. But to actually live that life is a constant struggle of repentance and our desire to turn back again toward the way of the world. That is the way of the saints. That is the way of the saints that is revealed to us by all the saints of North America that we remember and commemorate today. And it is our task, our responsibility, to continue to witness to that Christ in America. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.